You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast with host Fifi Peters.
And so just drilling through the numbers of the All Share Index up 0.8%, quite a lot of the action happening in the resources stocks and mining stocks finishing up over 1%, as well as the financial stocks finishing up over 1.2%. But let's get the intake of Gary Boyson, portfolio manager at RandSource. Gary, perhaps let's begin in the financial sectors, because this is where all the banks are. And most of our banks are finishing quite high in the session. And this is on a day where we did hear that UBank became the third bank, as it were, to be placed under curatorship following what happened with VBS in 2018, as well as African Bank in 2014. Just talk to us briefly about what this means for investors that look at South African banks and investing in South African banks. Does this have any implication at all?
Well, I think it's never a good thing, but if you look at it, obviously, you know, when a regulator steps in, as the Reserve Bank has, I think that just speaks to the power and strength of the South African Reserve Bank as an institution. So, you know, most countries have their big four banks, and if you look at our big four banks, which is obviously Nedbank, Standard Bank, Absa, and F&B.
We've got big five. We can't forget Capitec nowadays.
do we have big five? Yeah, I mean, market cap terms is big, but not as big in assets. So, okay, we can call it big five, but you're looking at UBank. UBank is obviously a much smaller operation. It does still have a balance sheet of about $5 billion. And any bank, what they have to do is they have to obviously meet capital adequacy requirements. Just the way that the nature of banking and kind of the way that you lend out high powered money, you essentially have to keep a float of capital available, and you can only lend out so much of the capital that you've taken in. Now, the levels of capital adequacy that UBank should have had was probably around 20%. Now, I'll call it big four, call it big five, are of generally very, very well capitalized. Our banks are fairly conservative compared to international counterparts. And yes, they do trade, if you look at it in earnings terms, at a discount to international peers. They generally are well capitalized, very, very safe banks. UBank was an exception. So if you look at its capital adequacy rate, it was sitting at around 3%. And as I said, it should have been up at about 20. Mm. UBank also is specifically a bank that's servicing retail depositors as well. So the people that are going to get hurt here are not corporates doing deals. It's not a big investment banking arm. It really is the man in the street. And I think that's what really prompted the Reserve Bank to step in. And that, I think, you know, the message to international investors should be that we have a very competent regulator that's stepping in before things really become a problem. There's going to be no issue, or at least not that we can see anyway, people aren't going to be able to access their accounts. The bank is going to continue lending. And this really is an issue around its capital adequacy rate and almost like a prudent step to make sure that things don't essentially get a lot worse. Mm, mm.
All right, so UBank not really moving the dial in terms of what did happen on the market today, but the dial did move higher if we look at the JSE's finish for the close of the session, up 0.8%. So tell us exactly what did move the dial. What drove markets higher today?
Yeah, as you say, it is to an extent the financials, maybe a little bit of bargain hunting, and we were a bright spot in the globe. The UK also, the UK has been doing exceptionally well this year if you compare it to let's say the US and the EU, and the UK managed to finish higher. But if you look at France, the CAC 40 was down about 0.2%. The S&P 500 has started down. It seems to be clawing its way back up. But as I said, South Africa was a bright spot, and again, what really rescued us, the financials did okay, as you said, up just over 1.2%, but it was the resources up over 1.5% today, and the likes of Anglo American up almost 3%, Glencore up almost 4%, Sibanye-Stillwater, which has taken a bit of pain recently, but recovering around 2.5% today, just as commodity prices once again firm up, and maybe the globe looking at it and thinking that maybe this deep growth killing recession is not quite upon us yet, and that commodity prices will stay elevated for some time to come. Mm.
What's interesting is that we are looking at a much weaker rand today than when we left for the weekend break. And we haven't yet seen or quite seen the weak rand effect filter through to companies that benefit from when the rand is not having its best days, like Naspers, for instance, that stock down 1 point, now almost 2% in the session. So just talk to us about the currency and what's got it bogged down.
Yeah, so you know, when you're looking at that and kind of making decisions almost at where currency should be or where stock should be based on the currency, you know, you've always got to remember that there's just so many factors playing into financial markets. So absolutely, Naspers, because of that big investment in Tencent, should be benefiting from a weaker currency. But of course, China has its own set of problems. And we saw Chinese retail sales and industrial production coming out this morning and a big miss. I mean, consensus was for retail sales to drop around 6.1%, and they dropped 11.1%, just as that very, very aggressive lockdown in China continues. So that's maybe why you're not getting that currency feed through into a stock like Naspers. But looking at the South African currency, I mean, we've had a very, very tough month. So if you kind of stack up all emerging market currencies together and look at it over the last month, South African rand is really the worst performing currency. So it's down around 10.1% over the last month. You know, that's even ahead of something like the Colombian peso, which was down 9.5, and the Brazilian real down about 7.1. So part of the big sell-off that we've seen in the rand, the move from 14, you know, if you're looking against the dollar, move from 14.50 all the way out to where we're sitting today at about 16.20. Part of that is just risk-off, people getting nervous in international markets, pulling currency out of the emerging market and looking for those safe havens. And we're definitely seeing that in something like the dollar index, which measures the dollar against the basket of the big developed world peers. That's sitting, well, that's almost at 104. So sitting at kind of, you know, multi-year highs at the moment. So the dollar is very strong, which is the other side of that trade. But the rand is weak, even in the context of our emerging market basket. And I think part of that is it's, you know, there is some correlation between, you know, the announcement of load shedding and the South African currency. You do feel that there's a bit of a sensitivity locally to that. The floods in KwaZulu-Natal certainly didn't help things. But the rest of it will be international forces. The rand is obviously very, very correlated to commodity prices. So while we have seen a kick up in commodities today, specifically, and maybe we should have seen a little bit of more of a feed through into the currency getting a bit stronger, that didn't really materialize. Commodity markets have been under a little bit of pressure over the last, you know, the last couple of weeks, and I think that's really just why the local currency is down now 10% for the month.
Yeah, I mean, it is quite interesting because commodity prices have been our saving grace as a country, just basically in terms of higher profits or tax revenue that has gone to SARS from the mining companies, but also for the rand, because I mean, you mentioned the KZN floods, and then there was the July riots and load shedding. And for the longest part, those weren't really reflecting on what we saw the currency do because of the commodity price push impact. And for the better part of this year so far, we were the best performing emerging market currency. So how quickly things change. But my last question to you, Gary, is what is this rand also telling us about what to expect from the Reserve Bank on Thursday when it concludes its Monetary Policy Committee meeting?
It's a great question. I don't know if the rand is telling us too much, or maybe it's telling us things are worse on the ground and we're going to get interest rate increases, which should naturally stabilize the rand. So if you look at the Refinitiv poll at the moment, we've got, you know, that polls all the big banks and prominent economists. Of the 24 people that were polled, every single one of them thinks we're getting a hike on Thursday. So it looks like interest rates are going up. So if you've borrowed money, you're going to probably have to tie your belt. If you are an elder saver, you're going to get a little bit more on your deposits. You know, most economists, I think only six of the polled economists think that we're getting a 25 basis points, so a 0.25% hike. Most people think we're going to see 50 basis points, and I would agree. I think we're going to see 0.5% higher come Thursday.
Yeah. Whether that's the right call, I suppose that's always the question, right? After the Reserve Bank governor does make it, it's not his decision alone, it's the entire committee, but we'll have to wait and see till then. Will it be 25 basis points? Will it be 50 basis points? The answer will be known on Thursday, 3 p.m. Central African time. But Gary, we'll leave it there for now. Gary Boyson, Portfolio Manager at Rand Swiss.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.